Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're going to get right back in this book of Job. Remember, Job means persecuted. And Job stands in or is a type for God's elect. Because you have here, let me say this also. To understand the book of Job, you've got to take the blinders off for just this earth age and understand the earth age before this. How that God chooses someone that he blesses because he knows them. He knows what they will do under fire. He knew what Job would do facing confrontation. He'd come through it fine. He can cut it. He can handle it. So in knowing this, Job had not sinned. Job even gave offerings for just in case some of his children did. And Job did love the Father. The lesson you'll want to get is don't listen so much to man, who are nothing but a bunch of ratchet jaws in many cases, as some of Job's good friends will be, but listen to God. That's basically what your Father wants you to learn from this book, is to let you know his love and his caring and how proud of you he is. When Satan comes up and says, God will say, hey, what do you think about my lady or gentleman here? I don't know that he would call us gentlemen, but anyway, sons, we'll say, and daughters. What do you think about them, Satan? You know, and when you let God down, well, that takes that away from him. So I know that it gives a personal touch between your relationship and the Father's. When you listen to men and when men try to understand what's wrong with you, why you're being chastised or why you've fallen on bad times, they can't read your mind. They don't know what you're thinking and you don't know what they're thinking, but God knows what you're thinking. So therefore, that's why you need to discuss it with the Father. Now, in the last verse, with Job's wife having kind of told him, why don't you just die, you know, he said, God brings good and shall we not receive evil? And this word evil, I think I would like to say a word on it, because God doesn't really send evil. The word in the Hebrew is, let's see, it's resh ayin, which is to say ra. And it means to disappoint. And I think maybe disappointment is something you do to God, and maybe you get disappointed yourself in that respect of loving him and serving him, but not evil as we would pronounce the word in the English, that God would send evil on you. Job said, if we can take the good times, we can take the hard times. That's what he's saying. Now let's pick it up with a word of wisdom from our Father, chapter 2, verse 11. And when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Go down and soothe that boy's heart, okay? Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Eliphaz means in El is his strength. But you know, here we got Temanite, which means Teman, what means south, and it was south of Esau, which means he was a son of Esau. Now, I don't know, have you ever read of a priest coming from Esau? I'm telling you, this is friends that are going to give us advice. It's important that you know who they are and what their credentials are, basically. That is to say, as far as their relationship with God, not that we're to judge anyone, but the chances are this is not going to be a chief priest by any means, given any help. He's from Edom. And Bildad... Bildad, his little name might tell you something. It means son of contention. The Shuhite. Now, this place was kind of brother-in-lawed out to Edom, if you would, Esau. So you're not going to hear of a priest coming from there. And Zophar, the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Good old boy club. Zorpha means sparrow. A little sparrow picks a little up here and a little up there. I think God makes it pretty plain to you. even though Nahum, being, I believe he was the last son, or there was one named Nahum, was the last son of Keturah. I'm going to whip over there so I don't mislead anyone. I believe that would be in Genesis 25. I'll take one shot at it and see who the Genesis 25. I see. No, that was Abida. Okay. And anyway, you'll have the list, and he was from this group. You can trace him back to this group of children born to Abraham by Keturah, maybe. But the important thing I want you to note, because we're going to be listening to these boys, right? And they're going to be given some advice that, I mean, people preach long sermons on. How do you know what they were thinking? You're supposed to listen to God. And we're going to have many chapters of yakety, yakety, yakety. They will use everything from experience. It is just my experience that this happens. Well, what is somebody else's experience worth to you in your relationship with God? Well, you might pick up something. You can usually learn something. It may be just don't listen to that person any longer. Okay, I think I've said enough. Just keep on guard, and away we go with it. They come down to comfort the old buddy. Verse 12. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, I mean, he looked so bad, they wasn't even recognizable. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. Looks religious, does it not? I mean, right toward heaven, spread that dust in sorrow. 13. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. 7 days and seven nights is the normal time for mourning in for the Oriental or the vagabond or this particular area, Near East. So that's why they did. Just simply because the person was hurt too bad. I mean, you got to remember what Job had lost now. Okay? You know, all of his children. Not just one. Not two. All. So they sit with him. And no doubt this gave them what you want to... I mean, I'm a realist. This gave them 7 days to look old Job over and say that. That rascal is suffering. He's in bad shape. Wonder what in the world he did that God has allowed this to happen. And if there's any one lesson you learn from Job, don't you accuse God of trouble. God may allow Satan to give you trouble, but at the same time, he gives you power over Satan to put a stop to it in this generation. I'm going to tell you something. When you start blaming God for something, you're asking for a bitter pill, and you're going to swallow it. It makes your father very upset with you, and you're wanting a blessing. So you'd better realize it's either our own shortcomings because of our not understanding our father's letter to us, or we're just missing something somewhere, because God will not offend his little ones for no purpose. Now, God's election, I must tell you, he expects the very best from his elect. And he'll let Satan wallow you and wallow you. Why? Because he knows from the first earth age that his elect, they're not going to give in to him anyway. Now, if you don't understand what I mean by that, just put it on a shelf over here and leave it. Chapter 3, verse 1. After this, after that 7 days, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. The day he was born. Now, it's important. Did he curse God? No way. 2. And Job spake and said, 3. Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. So just this whole thing is that he's feeling a little low. It may have been from his three friends. Many times when friends show compassion, it can work in reverse rather than forward. For let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. I just wish, this is deep. I wish that day had never existed, that I hadn't even been thought about. Verse 3. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. He's pretty unhappy about the day he was born. That was a bitter day, he felt at this time. 6. And for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. In other words, take that one day and just scrub it. Now, it's important that you note, not one time in this chapter, if one is easy to get on a pity party and not look for answers, but simply roll up within themselves and feel sorry for themselves, you've got a good example here. But there's one thing I want you to take note of. Never, never will you hear Job blame it on God or take it out on God. Verse 7. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Now, that's pretty low. 8. Let them, we're going to go right on through this, because basically it's all negative of he kind of on a pity party within himself. But it's just that he's not cursing anyone or blaming anyone. He just wished he had never existed. 8. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. And that's a sad song. Raise up a very sad song. The reason this goes back into, if you would, if many of you with companion Bibles, you will note there, their mourning is, or a Leviathan. Remember the word Leviathan. That's a stand-in for Satan. And it was Satan that was standing before God. Verse 9. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none, neither let it see the dawning of the day. I mean, that's just to take a day and erase it, period. Just like God would set the clock back, the sun back at one time and lengthen the day. This was the scratch one, 10. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. 11. Why died I not from the womb? Why wasn't I stillborn? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? 12. Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? There is a poem form that many of you with companion Bibles, it's far more beautiful, and the Hebrew is even more beautiful than that here. It means the mother's knees that are so loving as she holds her baby up on them and nurses them. The expression of tenderness and love of all times. 13. For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. I wouldn't be in this miserable mess. He's hurting, all right. But again, it's important that you note he's not blaming anyone. That's where you can get in trouble, and that's the lesson God wants you to learn from this. Hey, and don't go feeling sorry for Job if you love your father. Your father's using him to teach you today. Verse 14. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, 15, or with princes that had gold, or filled their houses with silver, 16, or as an hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. If there had just been a miscarriage. 17. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. In other words, you'll find peace there. Knowing, again, this to be absent from this body is present with the Lord. 18. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. I suppose, is Job saying here that even though Satan is before God and the sons of God, that he does not let those that are the prisoners, meaning those that have passed on to be absent from this body, is present with the Lord, that Satan is never allowed to argue with them, or they to hear his teaching? I suppose so. 19. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. 20. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul? In other words, compared to the miserable lot he felt he had drawn here, he was ready to be there. 21. Which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. Just want to die. That's sad. It really is. 22. Which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. That's verse 23. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? This loses a great deal in the translation. Let me try to capture it in this way. Why is the light given to a man who is at his wit's end, and whom God hath hedged in? Now here probably it comes as close. God hedges one in, and that hedge had better give you comfort, because God always places a hedge up to keep evil away from you. All right? So maybe it will bring him back to his senses. He's still true to the Father. Don't ever let anyone tell you that he ever stopped loving God. He did not. I do not believe that is possible for the elect, a true one of God's elect. Verse 24. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. 25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me. This is why you want to be real careful about worrying all your life. I just worried that this bad thing is going to come. Well, you know, you worry about it enough and wish for it enough, it probably will. And I just add that from my own thought. 26. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Well, we live in a troubled world. And as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there's nothing going to happen to you that isn't common among men. That is to say, that hasn't happened to somebody else. But true faith, and you want to instill this in your mind, if you ever need to get back to ground zero and anchor yourself in, I believe it's verse 13, I know it is. Go to verse 13 of that 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and following that statement that nothing that is common has happened to you that isn't common to other people, and it says, God, you will face temptation. That means trouble. All right, that's that type. And trial, just a little bit of trial. And it can even be a little bit piercing. By that I mean painful. Job had his part. But the thing is, he says, God will never, I mean never means exactly that, never, allow you to be tempted over what you can bear. So I don't care how rough it gets. You can cut it. You can bear it. You can handle it, because God's going to alleviate the anxiety, because he said in the closing thought of that 13th verse, and will always give you a way out. Think about that. So Job was in hard straits. But that's kind of what he's saying here. Trouble came. But Job can handle it. All right, now it's time for the boys. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz, this is God, El, not Yah, El is my strength, the Temanite, answered and said, we're going to get some hot advice here. If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? Question. But who can withhold himself from speaking? In other words, if we talk to you and give you some advice, is it going to upset you, Job? I mean, it's obvious, Job, but he's on the downstroke right here. I mean, you can read those verses, and it might be a little hard on you. I might be hard on you when I give you my advice. I'm sure it will. That's what ratchet jaws will do for you. And here, again, I want you to don't ever forget the fact, is this a man that is supposed to be familiar with God's word, such as a Levite priest or someone Job should have been talking to? No. Child of Esau, which the curse of God placed on, it wasn't God through his father, earthly father, as it is written in Genesis chapter 27, that he would live far away from the fat of the land. So you don't get too much good from there. So you wouldn't really want to listen to someone like that, would you? Expecting a word from God? I think not. In other words, you be a realist and you face a life and you stay focused on what the facts are. Verse 3, behold, thou hast instructed many and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Job, you've been a champion of the people. You've always had this good word for people. 4, thy words have upholden him that was fallen and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. You've just strengthened people and stood them up. 5, but now it has come upon thee and thou faintest. It toucheth thee and thou art troubled. 6, is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy way? In other words, isn't your religion going to hold you up? Verse 7, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. Or where were the righteous cut off? In other words, now this is a little bit cutting. Do you understand what he's saying here? He's saying, Job, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. Well, no one, I hope. I mean, That's the general trend of things. So you see, what this character is doing here, he's saying, Job, you slipped up. You are a sinner. That's why this has come down on you. The righteous wouldn't be cut off the way you are. Now that's man looking at logic and his experience, okay? Verse 8, good advice? Hardly. Verse 8, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And Joe, it's obvious. Now here, now you got to know, you've heard the account. Job is as innocent as a newborn babe, basically. And here this clown, this one that's supposed to be heaven, all he can see is Job, this miserable lot that you have drawn. You are indeed a sinner above all sinners. You get out there and sow sin, that's what you're going to reap, and you know it. 9. By the blast of God they perish. Ooh, he's blaming God. You didn't hear Job do that. This man is blaming God. And by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. I'm glad he serves a different God than I do. 10. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the furious lion and the teeth of the young lion are broken. There are 5 different names used for lion in this book. Perhaps I will stress that a little stronger at another time when it's more fitting. 10, 11. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey. I mean, he can't run fast enough to catch. And the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. He runs off and just leaves them. 12. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. Whoa. He says, I kind of got a feeling and a word from God for you, Job. I'm going to tell you something from experience in this life. When some person comes up to you, their life is a shamble. All right? They've got... The first thing you do in a person, you check their fruit. And their fruit is sour apples, all right? I mean, their life is... Anyway, but they come up to you and say, I'll have a word from God for you. I don't want to hear it. God has my address. He's got my telephone number. God knows how to talk to me. And if God has a message for me, He'll deliver it. All right? But that's what this guy is saying. This might be by just myself. He just came to me. All right? 13. In thoughts from the vision of the night when deep sleep falleth on men. Ooh. Now, that doesn't sound religious. But is it? And people will make sermons out of this. But this is not God talking. It's a man of Esau. Don't forget it. Stay focused. 14. Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. I mean, it's obvious that the supernatural was present. 15. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. 16. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, 17, shall mortal man be more just than God? Question. Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Question. You know, we can read this both ways. It is true that mortal man is far below God, all right? But at the same time, Job is claiming innocence. And now this guy is saying, I've got a word from God that you, being a mortal man, are falling way short, if he's making this up, see? But then you have to realize also, God can use the wicked to deliver a message. Let's see, where can I use an example? Let's use Saul went to have a soothsayer, a witch. The witch of Endor raised back up Samuel to give him some advice, and the likeness thereof raised up, and God spoke through that likeness. And did it do good? Well, it got his point across, a different subject. What I'm saying is, God can have fun with these things too sometimes, okay? 18. Behold, he put no trust in his servants. That is to say, God put no trust in the heavenly host. And his angels he charged with folly. That's to say, ignorance. Now, as a student of God's word, I know that God charged Satan, the prince and king of Tyre. But... when a person is in a spiritual body, there is one thing they are not, and that is ignorant. So common sense tells you this boy is spreading it on pretty thick, all right? And my estimation of whether it came from God or not, his vision probably might have been a sour pickle dream or after a hangover from the night out. So if you hear some preacher in his ignorance, this is what God said, I read it right in the Bible. Well, you better do a double think and get real. 19, get a life. 19, how much less in them that dwell in houses of clay? That means a little old boy like you, Job, flesh body, clay, dirt, whose foundation is the dust, which are crushed before the moth. In other words, they return to dust. It's an idiom that means the same. So he's laying it on Job pretty good here, okay? 20. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They're dying all the time. They perish forever without any regarding it. You die one year, you hear old so-and-so passed on yesterday. 21. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? Yeah, to be absent in this body is present with the Lord. They die even without wisdom. In the Hebrew writing, it says here somebody tried to make this easier for you to understand. As far as I'm concerned, it just kind of, you know, you've heard some people say pitch a tent. They pitched a tent and then they struck the tent. And it is applied here. The cord is plucked up within them, inside themselves. The air leaves it goes. Let's go a few more verses in chapter 5. This is pretty good stuff. The old boy's talking big. He's really got Job on the spit here. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Call now if there be any that will answer thee. Call them angels. Right? And to which of the saints wilt thou turn? Which of those holy ones are you going to turn to, Job? To. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Envy, indignation killeth the silly one. 3. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. For his children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. In other words, the gate is the place of judgment, and there's no litigation there. No judgment. 5. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorn, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. That's getting being stripped pretty clean. Got it? 6. Although or for affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Now here we get that little accusing tongue stuck out here again. Trouble doesn't just happen for no reason. It doesn't just jump up out of the ground and bite you. Well, it's obvious this old boy wasn't a farmer. He'd be real careful how he talk like this, because sometimes a lot of things can jump up off and on the ground and in the ground and bite you real good. Sometimes you might have to replant something 5 or 6 times before you get a stand. Now, anyway, we'll go on. He wasn't a farmer. Why? He was Esau. 7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. The sparks, I want you to check this. If you ever check anything out in the Hebrew, I want you to check this out. The sparks fly upward. It's the sons of Reseth, which means Satan's children. Verse 8. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Now I think, and we're going to stop there today, but I want you, this is a good place. Why? What advice? Finally, this dude has given some good advice. He said, who are you going to ask for help? He said, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. I wouldn't go to man. Well, who does this dude think he is? Eliphaz. Finally, the message to you is, don't listen to man until you check him out in God's Word. So what did we get? We got chapter 4 and 5. Now we're down to verse 8. And all in the world we've had is a bunch of yakety, yakety, yakety. Words of man, not from God. Now, many times you might go to church. You got it. On and on we go right there in church. Boy, you're in that pew and you're looking so religious. It's a duty. You got to be there. We must together ourselves to do what? Yep. Get into God's Word. Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality. So be careful who you listen to without checking them out, this man or any other man, without checking them out in God's Word. And the old boy finally got around to saying a mouthful, rather than going to some angel or some host or some mortal dust man, I'd go to God. Hey, now you're cooking, all right? Now you're cooking. He won't stick with that. He's still got his mouthful to say. We'll pick it up in the next lecture. This book tells you how to live successfully and not be duped, and to receive God's blessings, and to be able to take names and kick dragons, Satan, that is. So don't miss any of the lectures, though they may seem a little far out at times. By that I mean repetitious. They do. Why? Because man is ratchet jaw. Don't miss them. It'll do you good. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?